Let's begin the satsang. And the best satsang is to be in company of your own self. So I want you all to just relax yourself, close your eyes, and for 10 minutes you can have just a conversation with yourself. Just drop the conversations of the mind and have the conversation in the heart by relaxing yourself. Find the sense of amness within you. And just feel yourself. Remember the I thought, the I-ness within you will try to latch on to a thought. Don't worry about it. Allow it to go there. Just observe. The moment you observe the I thought moving, it will automatically connect to your being. All you have to do is to attend to the sense of I. This eye is a tremendous source of joy and happiness. There's an ocean of joy that exists within you as this eye. If the eye is closely held to yourself, like a mother holds his baby very close, a newborn, then it will give you so much joy, so much bliss, that words will fail to describe that. You will be amazed. All we have to do is to make it still, quiet, and held close to ourselves. And there is no bigger technique than the technique of love. Do you love yourself? Do you love yourself more than you can love anything else? Can you love this I which stands alone as a feeling of your existence without any reference that it can have with anything else outside of that I? Sri Ramana Maharishi used to say, the I pulsates inside of you. That's not different from love, love, love. It is the same thing. So the technique of meditation is not any technique of meditation. It is only to love yourself more and more. That's all. Like I said, we don't know that this I, which stands alone, is the greatest source of our joy and happiness. We are unaware of it. We always seem to refer this I in terms of what it latches onto, either as an idea or as an object, but doesn't need any of that. It stands completely alone. It's very easy to find the eye. Very easy. You close your eyes and you feel love. If you have felt love, you have found that eye. You don't have to trace it to go anywhere. You have to just be with that love that resides in your heart. It will automatically trace with you to the source. You are being with this I, with this love itself, will trace you back into from where it has originated from where it has come from. You can nurture that I-ness, that I-sense. You can nurture it with your breath. Connect your breath with the sense of I-ness. Offer your breath to your sense of I-ness. Notice how the I again moves into a particular thought or an idea or a sensation. Allow it to move, just attend to it, just witness it. The I has only one choice. Either it can move outwards or it can move inwards. But the movement is assured. It has to move. But you have no choice You have only one choice, and that is to love from your heart. And if you are in your heart, there is only one movement that I can do, and that is to move inwards. You don't have to push it anywhere inside. Just feel the flames of love arising within you. And just be with that love. Even when you allow the mind, the eye to go into a thought, do it lovingly, watching it lovingly. No problem. Love is the essence of every teaching. Love is the essence not only of your teaching but of your existence. To love means to be in your sense of I-ness. Now slowly open your eyes. Stay in that love, stay in that feeling of I-ness, maintain your poise. Observe, notice how your senses also respond to the love. How easily your senses turn inwards. The senses are always wanting to turn outwards into something. But just observe, when there is love, it's like the honey, it traps the bee to itself, attracts it. So being in love is the easiest way to track or trace the eye back into the source. Now, that is practically, theoretically, absolutely 100% correct. But we have one issue we all face, and that is the topic of today, which I had taken earlier also, but today I will give a little bit more detail about it. It is called vasanas, our habitual tendencies. We come in this world to love, to feel the love in our heart. That is the only purpose. To live with that love. The love that is not dependent on any object, the love that stands alone, the love that is self-satisfying, self-fulfilling, but it can be reflected onto others. It can embrace everybody. Of course, it will expand to everybody as you become more and more deep into your own love. However, the vasanas, the samskaras, the tendencies don't allow that love to remain for long. They pull you away into something else. Now I have given one simple definition of vasanas earlier, which was called as vasanas means agitation of the mind. restlessness in the mind. Anytime you are restless, agitated, please, please, everybody listen. This is very important. Please do not go into deep meditation now. Listen to what I'm saying. Please be awake. Alan, Alan, please be awake. Please listen. Agitation, restlessness of the mind is vasana. The trigger, whoever triggers you, is not the cause of that agitation. It's only a trigger of that vasana within you, the restlessness within you, the agitation within you. And today we are going to talk how ISIP, Implosive Self-Inquiry Protocol, helps in order to completely dissolve, eliminate the vasanas. In the end, there will be only one vasana remaining, which will remain till your very end, and that is of love. Love for each other. That's all. Other than that, all vasanas will be gone. And that will not create any agitation or restlessness. They may create agitation for some time because you are loving somebody. And if the person is suffering, you will suffer a little bit with that person. But that is very good restlessness. That is very good agitation. It is worthwhile the agitation to have. Rest, all agitations of the mind are the results of our wrong actions that we have done, past wrong thoughts that we have entertained, and they all need to be destroyed, eliminated, burned, whatever. Usually when vasanas happen, two things happen simultaneously. One is your thoughts go completely run crazy, and second thing is your body feels also responds by some kind of physical symptoms that happens within your body, and you will be struggling with both this. What one has to do during that time is the central issue of this satsang. Remember that we come into this world because there are some vasanas that are left within us that needs to be eliminated. And usually the people who trigger us are the ones who are very close to us. There are our family members, either are very good friends, lovers. They bring out the best in you and the worst of you. Because you love them, and so you have let go of the defenses, and you have allowed them to go and seep into your heart, to go inside your heart. So the mask is off with the people whom you are very close to, with your loved ones. But not everybody loves to be like that, because when they see the other person is seeing them, when the other person has become a mirror of yours and they can see you very well, it's not very comfortable that time. And usually there is a lot of domination, control because of that reason. Manipulation. Because everybody wants to escape that. They don't want to see the reflection of themselves in others, in their loved one, which is going to happen because God has purposely placed us with such people so that we can see ourselves, what we are. not with the intention of projecting onto that person, or not with the with the intention of controlling the person, dominating that person, because by doing so, the entire purpose of your existence is lost. So first thing, understand, if your mind is agitated due to somebody, he is not the cause of that agitation. Something within you has allowed that agitation to happen, has allowed it. So move your mind away from that person, that event or whatever it is, and center yourself to with your own self. Center your attention to that place where the agitation is taking place. That is the whole idea. Moving away from that person who's triggered you to yourself. That's a process. Now, all our spiritual ISIP, what is it? It contains three important foundations: churning, burning, affirming. And all these three helps in order to eliminate the vasanas that are there within us. And I want to explain how it is so, and why our system is the most effective and the best way to deal with it. Do you know, when you started studying spirituality, there is one important essence of every discipline or every practice or anything. They call it, move your mind inwards. Standard instruction. You see any Raja Yoga, Kundalini Yoga, Advaita, whatever you see, your attention is brought inside, within you. That is the essence of your any practice, any spiritual practice. This is called as churning. The first part that we take, churning. What does churning do? Why do we have to move inwards? Because our life force has always have a tendency, a vasana tendency, habitual pattern of moving to objects outwards. So we are reversing that process. We are going from outwards, we are trying to now tell, let's go inwards. So we are moving our mind inwards. When we move our mind inwards, the life force which feeds the mind, because life force follows wherever the mind follows. Wherever your intention follows, wherever your will follows, the life force will follow accordingly. Because for the life force, the master is the mind. The master of the life force is the mind. So if I make my mind inwards, to go inwards, the life force will follow automatically inwards. It will follow it. That's why typical instruction of every spiritual sadhana is move away from outwards, move inwards. Simple. The basic premise of this is the I thought, when we are sleeping, has gone into the source, dissolved into the ocean, like I was talking today in the what happens at night when I witness it, goes into the source, into the spiritual heart, and dissolves into the ocean of joy and happiness. But then as you wake up, the I thought shoots up into the brain, and through transmission lines or through the act of spreading, it moves inside, like into the nerves, through the nerves, because our body is full of nerves, which are called transmission lines, wires. Through the wires, it moves into the body, giving us the illusion that we are this body, then it starts to, the life force starts to nurture the senses, organs, eyes, nose, ears, touch, hands, and everything. And then it gives us the illusion more that we are this mind and this body-mind orgasm. The body-mind mechanism starts with that. And our reality appears to be this because of the life force which has gone into the body activities, into the functions of the body. Now, as we do churning means bringing the mind inwards, the process reverses automatically. The life force starts to reverse. So, from the body, it moves into the Sushumna, goes to the Sushumna, middle channel. And from the Sushumna, it goes to the brain. And from the brain, you experience higher dimension of your existence. Two main studies that we have understood. One is Raja Yoga, other is self-inquiry. Both talk about the same thing of bringing the life force into the middle channel and going into the Sahasrara. However, in Raja Yoga, you do it through the breath techniques. Whereas in self-inquiry, we do it by inquiring to whom? Who am I? To feel the I-ness. The subjected awareness of I, both accomplish the same thing. They accomplish bringing the life force to retire into the Sushumna and into the Sahasrara. Now, this is what we have learned, what we have studied. However, vasanas are residing in the spiritual heart. It is deeper than that. And till the vasanas are not eliminated from your heart, it will not completely be dissolved. Therefore, even though churning gives you an experience of the higher states of your existence, of what you exist as, not just as human beings, it is part of your existence. But you exist as consciousness, sat, chit, that is consciousness, sat is truth, and anand means joy, uninterrupted joy, uninterrupted happiness. You exist as that. This experience, knowingness of higher dimensional or different dimensional existence of yourself is only possible when you are churning, when you churn. As the life force retires completely into the Sushumna, you will get a glimpse of your reality of what you are beyond this body mind. So the technique are various, are different, methods are different, but the end is the same thing. The method is in Raja Yoga, you put it through the meditation, through the breath, through the pranayama. We're putting it into the pranayamas. That is what we do in Ujjayi. And the heart freeze. And other times, we are doing the recognition of the I-ness or asking the question to whom and following the I, which is the self-inquiry method. Both are doing churning. Please understand this. It is little difficult. It is probably our flaw in understanding that just this technique of churning can help us rid of our vasana. No. It will only help us churn. It will only help us to come to know about the joy in the heart, the bliss in the heart, or you can say, we can come to know about our higher dimensional existence. But it does not eliminate entirely of your vasana, both of these things. please understand. And I'll tell you why. Say, for example, you committed a crime in India and you went to the US because you have a visa. It does not mean that you are not a criminal or you cannot be prosecuted. After 6 months, when you are brought back to India, when your visa expires or your entry, single entry visa expires, you can be held and put into prison. Same thing. When you escape into the state of higher dimension, you, when the vasana strike, agitation happens, you will come back into the normal human consciousness and you will feel imprisoned again. And you say, from where did this come from? How did this happen? I do not know. So it's very important to understand what is the purpose of every method, what we are doing, why we are doing ISIP, or in what way churning, burning, affirming are important as practical way of doing it. We have made the method to become the end of all. And the method is felt like, or whatever we read, we feel, oh, if you do this method, Kriya, then our vasanas will eliminate it. Or we feel, oh, if you do following the eye into the source or by doing the self-inquiry, all the vasanas will be eliminated. That is what we read. That is what we understand. But that's not, according to my experience, the whole truth. It is partial truth. And that's why I've broken it into three things. Churning, burning, affirming. In burning, that is a second step. That is where we address eliminating, dissolving, burning the vasanas. As we are churning, going into higher dimension, you will feel that probably you are escaping from life, because the entire study is based on that, you know, go into the eye or go into the breath, go into the sushumna. It is very good because it churns your energy. It churns your life force to move into a direction of your existence, which is higher. But when the vasana strike, this method may not help you. You will still be agitated. You will still have conflicts. Because the playground is not the sushumna. When you created the vasanas, you never did it in your state of meditation or when your mind or life force was in sushumna. You did it when you were in a lower dimensional human existence. Please understand. That's why it cannot be addressed there only. It has to be addressed while you are in the human existence, when you are in the human dimension. So you might get a glimpse of what you are, of Ananda, but it will be short-lived because you'll be brought back into agitation, restlessness of the mind, into the body, and then you'll be dealing with it. And you will not know how to deal with it because you will look to escape from it, because that is what we've been doing. Escaping. Escaping from life, escaping from everything, to go into the self, to go into the I-ness within, or to go into the breath. But that will not help that time, because your visa of America has expired. Now you just landed into India and you will be held. So you have to face that. There is no other way. You have to come to this dimension, human dimension, and start burning. A very beautiful thing happens when you start to burn. When you start to burn, suddenly automatically churning also happens. Automatically. Which means the burning is closely related to the churning. Automatically your depth of the self happens. Automatically your higher dimension existence also happens together. So now you're not running away from anything. You're meeting life as it is, but at the same time, you're also having experience of your higher dimension. This is the beauty of burning. As you burn, your faith, your certitude of the self also increases along with that. Also, the joy also increases along with that. So, know that. Do not try to escape from the burning. That's why I have put two things there. One is churning, which is to when your mind is very relaxed, you will see that you are able to do your Who Am I meditations or your meditations very well, your I Am meditations very well, your Ujjayi is very well, everything is done very well. But when the mind is agitated, you will see that it is not helping so much because the mind is always interested to deal with the problem, the issue that is happening, and you are trying to escape it. So you are having a conflict. So very important thing is don't have a conflict. When you meet agitation, when the agitation meets you, meet the agitation. Meet it. That is burn with it. And like I said, as you keep burning, as you keep burning, as you keep burning, the self becomes more and more pronounced, more and more deeper. Your faith, your love increases many folds because of that reason. Your love, your heart expands as you burn because you easily know that you're burning the agitation. You can feel it as you burn. It is the most easiest meditative state to achieve. So while burning, you can even churn and go into deeper dimensions of your existence while you are actually burning. It helps you to do both the things. There are two kinds of burnings. One is low intensity burning and one is high intensity burning. In low intensity burning, if you do Ujjayi or if you just ask to whom it is happening, you'll easily be able to move away from that agitation. Easily. In low intensity burning. Say, for example, someone you're passing by and someone says something to you and it creates an agitation in you. You can either do Ujjayi or just ask to whom it has happened and the matter is finished. But let's say someone who's in your house and repeatedly tells you this, or in your office, repeatedly is telling you or trying to be nasty with you. But because you have to face that person daily or a regular basis, the burning is going to be very, very strong. It is a high intensity burning. And therefore, you'll have a problem by doing Ujjayi that time. You will not be able to do Ujjayi or to ask this question to whom, because that won't be very long lasting. It will be very short lasting. You have to sit and burn with it. So be open to burning. Be open to burning. There is no other way to eliminate the vasanas but to burn. Burning is very important process. I've already been given, but I'll give a very short way how to do it. As you feel the agitation in your body, the restlessness in your body growing, sit with it, feel it, embrace it, accept it. Don't try to project onto anybody. More important thing is refrain. Observe the normal tendency of the mind to defend yourself or how it attacks other person or how it judges the other person. Observe all of that. Oh, he did it, that's why I'm having this problem. Oh, she did it, that's why I'm having this issue. Observe. Don't do this. Reverse your attention back to your own self. Start to burn. Feel the agitation that is taking place in your body, the restlessness, and now accept it. Tell to itself, tell to, oh, I love this. I accept it totally. I feel it. This is my own self. This agitation, this restlessness is me. Tell to yourself, this is me. Somehow I had lost contact with you, my beloved. But now, because of somebody else, you are shouting for attention. You are screaming for attention. You are screaming for love. I am here to accept you. I am here to embrace you. I am here to love you. And then be with that feeling that arises within your chest, in your heart, which sinks you. In some way, it feels like a sinking feeling. Many, many sensations happen at that time, myriad of it. But just be with that feeling. Trust the process. You will get very familiar with that sensation in the body. You'll get to know that it is actually a part of you that you have been evading for such a long, long time. Merge with it. And then there will be a sense of gratitude toward those people, especially those people who are very near to you. A sense of gratitude will arise because a sense of love will arise from within you because of the part of it which was missing, the missing link of you becomes one. It becomes total. And because of that person, because of that event, it was possible that it give you an opportunity to become one. So refrain from normal actions that you do, which are repetitive, like judging, giving opinions, being aggressive, being reactive, and hold yourself back. Feel the restlessness that is there. Now, judgment does not mean only about other people. Judgment means also about yourself. Don't judge yourself also. Oh, I was like this. I am like that. That is also violence. It is the same thing. Only thing you have done is by judging yourself, you have done more harm to yourself because instead of doing to the other person, now you have put it to your blame to yourself. It is the same thing. It's the same energy. It's a low-level energy that you have done. Don't blame yourself. Accept this is the feeling that's arising because of whatever reason. I will bear it how many days I have to bear it, but I will not give up. I'll hold you. And I'll embrace you and I'll kiss you and I'll feel you. Bring all the sensuality that you've been into the objects, bring it to yourself. That's the best way to burn. Play with it. Love it. And then you will see that the both the things, you are becoming more and more expansive. Your love is growing and crossing all boundaries. And specifically those people whom you felt were the reason for your distress or triggers, you will start to have a very soft attitude towards that. Because if you have missed that, you have missed everything. Then there is no point of going into higher dimensions, samadhi experiences, or going into the void, or going into the, because you have not learned the basic thing. What good it is to go and escape into the states when you have not come back into integrating with your own self properly. So please always try and burn with it. So this is second. And third and the last is affirming. Affirming is where we have an opportunity to bring the self into the world. Like I said, the world is the playground where we have to deal with our vasanas. We have to go and face it. You know, one of my students and very dear friend, Marcus, says, everything is an invitation. Beautiful words he used. Yes, everything is an invitation. Think that how everything is an invitation in your life. Whoever has come in your life has come in your life so that you have an opportunity to burn, an opportunity to eliminate what was missing in you, what is missing in you. The qualities, the divine qualities, and you'll have to go back into the world to deal with it. Not escaping, but being in it, because there is no other way. You cannot escape it. There's no chance of escaping anything in life. So, you go back, revisit. I say one more step. Revisit that place. That very event that caused you trauma, that very person that caused you any kind of agitation, revisit that person, revisit that event. See whether the trauma is there within you, that uneasiness still prevails. Because if it does, that means you still have work to do. That means the seeds of vasana are still there. Otherwise, how can you recognize it, the agitation? So, invitation, revisitation, both the things. Revisit, invite yourself, roll the self, world back into the self in churning, and the self into the world by affirming. So while in churning, you are bringing all your energies into the self through the churning process, into the sushumna. In affirming, you are taking the self into the world. You are bringing the world. This is the way you test yourself. How can you do any spiritual study and not be tested? You have to be tested. You cannot become a boxer by just, you know, hitting on that with gloves. What is that called? Where we hit it. And you do not go into the ring. You have to go into the ring and face the opponent in the world again. Just sparring with somebody who's not going to hit you back, that's nothing, big deal. So go and check yourself, see the barometer, feel the, get yourself, that's a barometer. The affirming is the main barometer of what studies you've done. Your high dimensional existence, the proof of your high dimensional existence, how well it is integrating with your humanity. How well it has come one with the world. That is the most important thing. Come and meet it. And then if you feel, there's still something remaining inside. No problem. Go and work on it. Start burning, start churning. If it's low intensity, you can churn and get rid of it. If it's high intensity, you'll have to burn a little bit longer. No problem. But affirming is very important. The other thing about affirming is always know in the back of your mind everything that is happening is for your good. Everything, every single thing that happens is for your best. So every person who has come in your life or is in your life is for your best. Because even if it doesn't appear that he is your best, that means he's probably or she's probably agitating you, which is again good because you get a very good opportunity to burn. So it has to be good. How can it not be good? Everything in this world, if a person is giving you pleasure, joy, happiness, it's very good. If a person is giving you agitation, unhappiness, ill feelings, extremely good because you are having progress in spirituality. So everything that is happening in your life is good. There is no way that this, you should always know this in your mind, even if it doesn't appear to be like that. To your mind, it doesn't appear to be like that, that everything that has happened is for your good, but it is a fact. Either someone can agitate you or give you happiness. Both the ways, you are in a very good wicket if you know these three things. Churning, burning, affirming, and the place that they have in your life. Understand it clearly. What I have to do in these three steps, how I have to recognize these three steps, where I have to use churning, when I have to use churning, when do I have to use burning, and affirming. All these three things. Third important thing about affirming is don't take spirituality so seriously or anything so seriously. It's not a matter of life and death. It is beyond life and beyond death. Remember. So no seriousness. Do it with a very joyous feeling, happy feeling. If you're burning, don't burn. Ah, so much burning is happening. So much. Oh my God. 2 days, 3 days. I'm burning, burning, burning. Don't. Enjoy. If it's burning too much, no. Just go take a beer and sit with it. Say, okay, 20 minutes, 30 minutes I have burned. Now I go watch a movie. Now I'll do this. I'll go and have an ice cream. I have put 30 minutes in my life of burning. I deserve 20 minutes of peace, 20 minutes of happiness. Don't take it seriously. Swami Sri Yukteswarji used to say, a sad saint is a bad saint. Who was Yogananda's disciple, guru. He said, sad saint is a bad saint. Because Yogananda used to be so serious about spiritual that he was always doing some kind of spirituality. Or he noticed in somebody else, I don't know. And people became gloomy and very, very dead and very, very sad and depressed because of spirituality. Why? Spirituality is supposed to give you introduce you to be the ocean of joy and happiness, and you are doing just the opposite. Be happy. Smile. You're burning the seeds of vasana, your karmic seeds of vasana. What is so bad about it? Be happy about it, okay? I am doing this. Sensations are not very, very pleasant at this moment, but I will come to know how they become one with me when I integrate. And then the freedom that happens. When you go and meet the world, that it no longer creates that kind of shock and trauma inside your system. It's no longer like a volcano that is erupting at a slight of trigger, the rage that you feel. It's all agitation. It's all vasana. Nobody is at a fault. It's not your fault. So my system of method is divide into three. There are 60 minutes in a day. 20 minutes do churning. 20 minutes do burning. 20 minutes enjoy your life. Have fun. Do whatever you want. I am not going to judge you. Nothing will matter. Do whatever you want. As long as you are doing this churning, burning, I am not bothered about the next 20 minutes what you do. It's very important to come into the world, to accept the world, enjoy the world, so that you don't make it like a drag, like a punishment to you. Oh my God. The world is also given to you to enjoy. Enjoy your life. But remember, 40 minutes proportion. Remember the proportion. 20 minutes means almost you can say 60% or 70% of your time must go into spiritual study, into the practical aspects of churning, burning. The rest 20 minutes or 30% you do what you want to do in life. It won't. Continue with your habits, continue with your idiosyncrasies, continue with your whatever you want to do. You'll automatically burn them out as you are going to burn. And trust me, automatically, some actions will automatically fall like a fruit that gets ripe on its own. You don't have to do anything about it because you're doing everything which is right in churning and burning. You know, Yogananda used to say that one person went to Yogananda ji and said, you know, in the Bible is written, thou shall not do this, thou shall not do that, thou shall not do that, thou shall not do that. All the thou should not. What is your thou should not do? And he used to say, I have no such thing. Do whatever you want to do, which is so true. Just bring Kriya in your life. He said that. And you see automatically everything. He said, I cannot guarantee you that these things that are doing in your life are going to remain or not going to remain. You can, he said, you want to have wine, you can have wine. You want to do whatever you want to see. You want to see, entertain me yourself in any way you want to entertain yourself, entertain. But I cannot guarantee you that they will remain once you do your churning and running. Same thing I'm saying. It's my practical experience. I'm not saying you have to force yourself in the name of moralities or any kind of thing. Continue your life just as it is. In fact, enjoy more because you're burning. When you burn and you churn, it is possible that mood may get a little upset sometimes. Take an opportunity, take an extra effort to go and enjoy yourself for the next 20 minutes of your life or when you put 40 minutes in your practice. So this sums up my whole entire three things when you do churning, burning, and affirming. Now we will do a 10 minute meditation and then I will leave you with that meditation and I'll see you in another 15 days. I want you to sit quietly, come to yourself, be with yourself. First, drop the pressure on your shoulders that you're carrying. Just drop it. Release all the pressure. In this moment, there is nobody except you, your beingness, and me. That's all. Nobody. Just close your eyes. Bring your attention to your breath. Feel the breath moving inwards and outwards your nostrils. Now bring your attention to the sweet spot within you that you can notice as what you can call as I amness or the amness or the sense of beingness. Stay with that feeling. Don't look at any area in your chest or anywhere, just the feeling of your existence. Now nurture it with your breath. Feed it your breath. As you inhale, feel your beingness expanding. And as you exhale, feel your beingness contracting more intimately into yourself. Sinking into yourself as you exhale. Have a silent conversation with your beingness, not through thoughts but through feelings. Tell it, I love you. I love me. You and me are one. I am becoming you. I am you. I am one. Love it. In your own words. A big part of spirituality is initiation between the master and the students, the guru and the disciple. But the real guru is your beingness, which resides within you. Ask your inner beingness permission to churn, burn and affirm together. Resolve with your beingness. That you will churn, burn and affirm together. That he allows you this. There is no bigger technique to know your beingness but to the language of love. Talk to him silently through the voice of your inner voice and ask his permission. Now open your eyes slowly and keep the poise very constant and feel the space around you, the outer world. Feel the connection that it has made with your beingness. Now mentally ask the permission to the space around you to allow you to churn, burn and affirm. To present to yourself this outer world as an opportunity to churn, burn and affirm. This is the self-initiation process. You are initiating yourself both inwards and outwards. From time to time, try to have this conversation with yourself and to the space outside, which is the world that you see. That appears. Take its permission. Space outwards, the world outwards, please provide me the opportunity to churn, burn and affirm. Then close your eyes again and continue a conversation with yourself, just normal feeling in your heart with your love. Do this a few times and I'll see you in 15 days. Pranam, and I love you all.